I think we're all assembled and can continue. I assume you can hear me. No, okay. We read, I think last time, this Interpol issue, you know, there's a new arrival, Cunningham and Power, for the appointment, they arrive with somebody else whose name isn't quite clear. And then you have this depolation, like a historical novel, it's, I think, one of the not so successful interpolations. It's not. We've read it already. So it says, our travelers reached the rustic hostelry of the lighted from their palfreys. You know, the vocabulary is a bit like these historical novels. How, Wallace, cried he, who, by his mien, seemed the leader of the party, saucy knave to us. So saying, he knocked loudly with his sword hilt upon the open lattice. So it's an arrival at the hostelry. Mine host came forth at the summons, girding him with his tabard. Give you good den, evening, it seems, my masters, said he with an obsequious bow. Bestir thyself, sir, cried he, who are knocked. Look for our steeds, and for ourselves, give us of your best, for your faith we need it. So it's very peremptory. Lackaday, good master, said the host, my poor house has but a bare larder. I know not what to offer your lordships. How now, fellow, cried the second of the party, probably Cunningham, a man of pleasant countenance. So servest thou the king's messengers, Master Tapton. So he says, we are the king's messengers, I mean, he's special treatment. What Joyce, I think, does is a sort of reversal of the nationalist, because Martin Cunningham works for the British administration, and he has the use of the castle car. So that, in a way, the nationalist should not be particularly friendly to him, but here it's turned around. They now accept him and they change their attitude and offer something. An instantaneous change overspread the landlady's visage. Cry your mercy, gentlemen, he said humbly, and if you be the king's messengers, God shield his majesty, you shall not want for aught. The king's friends, God bless his majesty, shall not go a-fasting in my house, I warrant me. Then about, cried the traveller who had not spoken, a lusty trenchman by his aspect, has aught to give us? Mine host bowed again as he made answer. What say you, good masters? And here we have, looks like Elizabethan delicacies, squab pigeon pasty, some collops of venison, a saddle of veal, a widgeon with crisp hawk's bacon, a boar's head with pistachios, a basin of jolly custard, a metal tankard and a flagon of old Rhenish wine. Gachooks, that's the kind of words that you find in these. Cried the last speaker, that likes me well, pistachios. Ah, cried he of the pleasant countenance. A poor house said a bare article. This a merry rogue. So this is a what it, and of course it's off because in the pub there's nothing to eat in the first place. But it's, as I say, one of the not so successful interludes. And now we go back to the tale in the pub.
Just one moment, sorry.
And at the sound of the saccharine bell, bearers, readers. So anyhow, when I got back, they were at it ding-dong. John Moy saying it was Bloom gave the idea.
No.
Our travellers reached the rustic hostelry.
No.
I know, I must search just I was there and I was wrong now. Just one moment, please. Just one moment.
And alighted from their palfreys. Ho, varlet, cried he, who by his
means... No, we have read that.
Ho, varlet,
Yes, I know. I know. It's just from six.
Okay. It's a merry rogue. So in comes Martin, asking where was Bloom, Martin Cunningham. They made the appointment. Where is he? Says Lennon. Defrauding widows and orphans. Lennon is still angry about his bet and that he thinks Bloom has won something. So he is saying something. Defrauding widows and orphans. Well, of course, Bloom is on an errand of mercy. He wants to help the widow and the orphans. Is that a fact, says John Wise, what I was telling the citizen about Bloom and Sinn Féin? Remember the rumour that Bloom was behind the actions, pulling the strings, helping the Irish to imitate the Hungarian system of home rule. So he says, is that a fact? And then Martin, without really knowing what exactly, that's all he heard, that show, or so they allege. So that's all it is. And allege is not, doesn't say it's true. So they allege. Who made those allegations? And then I said, Joe, I am the alligator. And you can see the kind of feeble joke, allegation. And after all, says John Wise, why can't the Jew love his country like the next fellow? Why not, says JJ, when he's quite sure which country it is. And you see again, the Jews don't belong anywhere and have the opinion against them. Is he a Jew or a Gentile or a Holy Roman or a swaddler? What the hell is he, says Ned. Or who is he? No offence, Crofton. Crofton is a Protestant, and Protestants were often called swaddlers because in their Bible, Jesus was put in swaddles, diapers, windle, that kind of thing. So, Crofton. We don't want him, says Crofton, the Orangeman, or a Presbyterian. They don't quite know what he is. Who is Junius, says JJ. Junius was a writer, I think, in the 17th century, a satirical writer who attacked the government. And he kept, his name was a pseudonym, and they don't quite know who it is. So it is somebody in English history who hasn't written under his own name.
Fritz, I've got it.
Yeah, good.
I've got it, yeah.
Yeah.
Be rogue. So in comes Martin, asking where was Bloom. Where is he, says Lenin, defrauding widows and orphans. Isn't that a fact, says John Wise, what I was telling the citizen about Bloom and the Sinn Féin? That's so, said Martin, or so they allege. Who made those allegations, says Alf. I, says Joe, find the alligator. And after all, says John Wise, why can't a Jew love his country like the next fella? Why not, says JJ, when he's quite sure which country it is. Is he a Jew or a Gentile or a Holy Roman or a swaddler? Or what the hell is he, says Ned. Or who is he? No offence, Crofton. We don't want him, says Crofton, the Orangeman or Presbyterian. Who is Junius, says JJ. He's a perverted Jew, says Martin, from a place in Hungary. And it was he drew up all the plans according to the Hungarian system. We know that in the castle. Isn't he a cousin of Bloom, the dentist, says Jack Power. Not at all, says Martin, only namesakes. His name was Virag. The father's name that poisoned himself. He changed it by deed. Paul the father did. That's the new Messiah for Ireland, says the citizen. Ireland of saints and sages. Well, they're still waiting for their redeemer, says Martin. For that matter, so are we. Yes, says JJ. And every male that's born, they think it may be their Messiah. And every Jew is in a tall state of excitement, I believe, till he knows if he's a father or a mother. Expecting every moment will be his next, said Lenehan. Oh, by God's. Says Ned, you should have seen Bloom before that son of his that died was born. I met him one day in the South City markets, buying a tin of Neve's food, 6 weeks before the wife was delivered. On Ventry-sur-Mer, says JJ. Do you call that a man? Says the citizen. I wonder did he ever put it out of sight, says Joe. Well, there were two children born anyhow, says Jack Power. And who does he suspect? Says the citizen.
Good. Yeah, so they don't quite know who what Bloom is, relatively. We know that he's obviously not an observant, practicing Jew. But they don't know who he is. He's a perverted Jew, says Martin. Probably meaning, I don't quite know, a converted Jew, because his father converted to Protestantism and Bloom himself converted to Catholicism to marry. But there may be more in perverted, turned around and all of that. From a place in Hungary. And it was he drew up all the plans according to the Hungarian system. We know that in the castle. So he says that's a fact. Now, I myself do not believe this in the least. It's most unlikely. But they say that. So you have to be careful about fact. Anyway, they don't quite know about Bloom. Is he a cousin of Bloom the dentist? Says Jack Power. We heard of Bloom the dentist in the 10th chapter. Not at all, says Martin. Only namesakes. His name was Virag. I think here it comes the first time. Virag is Hungarian for flower. Virag. The father's name that poisoned himself. So the father changed the name from Virag to Bloom. And they know that he poisoned himself. He changed it by deed poll. Deed poll is the administration where you do name changes and things. The father did it. That's the new Messiah for Ireland, says the citizen. The island of saints and sages. That was a formula for Ireland. The many saints and sages. Well, they're still waiting for their Redeemer, says Martin. For that matter, so are we. Yes, says J.J., the lawyer. And every male that's born, they think may be their Messiah. And every Jew is in a tall state of excitement, I believe, till he knows if he's a father or a mother. You get the joke. If he has a son or a daughter, and this is perverted in a way to the parents. And of course, you know that it is important to have a male offspring. And then Lenehan, expecting every moment will be his. And of course, we expect last. And then every moment will be his next. Naturally, every moment is next. I think that's quite important because Joyce always plays with our expectation. And you do certainly expect will be his last, because the other one is a matter of course, says Lena. Oh, my God, says Ned, you should have seen Bloom before that son of his that died was born. So they know the son and the father. I met him one day in the South City markets buying a tin of Neve's food 6 weeks before the wife was delivered. Au revoir, très sa mère, says Jay, the lawyer. This obviously is old French, legal, I take it, and I've never found out where you find that, because in my opinion, it should be en ventre de sa mère. I still hope somebody can find this particular form, says JJ. You call that a man, says the citizen. I wonder did he ever put it out of sight, says Joe. That's an obscene version, that he put it in order to become a father. Did he ever put it out of sight? So is he really a father, Joe? Well, there were two children born anyhow, says Jack Power. And who does he suspect, says the citizen. So they're talking about Bloom. And now back.
God, there's many a true word spoken in jest. One of those mixed middlings he is. Lying up in the hotel, Pisser was telling me, once a month with headache, like a totty with her courses. Do you know what I'm telling you? It'd be an act of God to take a hold of a fella the like of that and throw him in the bloody sea. Justifiable homicide, so it would. Then sloping off with his £5 without putting up a pint of stuff like a man. Give us your blessing. Not as much as would blind your eye. Charity to the neighbour, says Martin. But where is he? We can't wait. a wolf in sheep's clothing, says the citizen. That's what he is, Virag from Hungary. Ahasuerus, I call him, cursed by God. Have you time for a brief libation, Martin, says Ned. Only one, says Martin. We must be quick, JJ and S. You, Jack, Crofton, three half ones, Terry. St. Patrick would want to land again in Ballykinlar and convert us, says the citizen, after allowing things like that to contaminate our shores. Well, says Martin, rapping for his glass, God bless all here is my prayer. Amen, says the citizen. And I'm sure he will, says Joe.
There's many a true word spoken in jest, that Blue may not be a real father. One of those mixed middlings he is. Now, we know Bloom is always a bit soft and a bit on the woman's side, and he doesn't drink and he doesn't fight and things like that. The middling is this. Lying up in the hotel, Pisser, look, was telling me, once a month with headache like a totty with her courses. In other words, when his wife had the period, he was also lying in bed. Now, I know vaguely, and some of you may know better, that this is a custom in some country. I think it's called guvad, if I'm right. So that the husband also is in bed, pretending to have similar symptoms like that. So this is not something out of nowhere, but it is a custom in some. But it means Bloom is rather feminine, we get that, according to their standards. Do you know what I'm telling you? Ever thought how clever this question is? Do you know what I'm telling you? Yes, I know. You don't have to tell me. Weishwas, is so to say. But Joyce makes us aware of that such kind of illogical uses. It be an act of God to take a hold of a fellow the like of that and throw him in the bloody sea. Justifiable homicide, so it would. Then sloping up with his £5 that he is supposed to have won and didn't, without putting up a pint of stuff like a man, and that's what the man does, selling around. Give us your blessing, not as much as will blind your eye. Charity to the neighbour, says Martin, who is a good Catholic, but where is he? We can't wait. A wolf in sheep's clothing, says the citizen. You know, that's biblical. But of course, in the Odyssey, after the Greeks had blinded the giant, they hid under sheep, they hid under rams. So they were basically wolves in sheep's clothing, as it happened, that's the citizen. That's what he is. Virag from Hungary. A Ahasuerus is the... Ahasuerus is a name for the wandering Jew. It is disrespectful. Ahasuerus, I call him. Cursed by God. And then the drink. Have you time for a brief libation, Martin? Says Ned. Only one, says Martin. We must be quick. JJ&S, that's a whiskey. John Jemison and Son whiskey. JJ. Half a one, it's quick. You, Jack, Crofton, three halves, Terry. You see, they order drinks again. St. Patrick would want to land again in the Ballykinlar and convert us as a citizen after allowing things like that to contaminate our shores. So again, the Jews as a vermin, bugs that have to be exterminated. Well, says Martin, rapping for his glass, God bless you, is my prayer. And you see, he had cursed by God, blessing and things like that. And as I keep insisting, these were powerful things in the old cultures, Greeks and Christianity, or Jewish, when God cursed or blessed you, that was serious, and now it's just something you say like that. Oh, God bless all, here's my prayer. And you see, this is now taken literally, and God blesses is now turned into a long interpolation about a ceremonial ecclesiastical blessing and benediction. So it's a very long one, and it may look a bit boring, but you will see. So we have a few stops.
And at the sound of the saccharine bell, headed by a crucifer with acolytes, thurifers, boat-bearers, readers, ostiari, deacons, and subdeacons, the blessed company drew nigh of mitred abbots and priors and guardians and monks and friars, the monks of Benedict of Spoleto, Carthusians and Camaldolese, Cistercians and Olivetans, Oratorians and Valambrosans, and the friars of Augustine, Brigidines, Premonstratesians, Servi, Trinitarians, and the children of Peter Nolasco, and therewith from Carmel Mount the children of Elijah, prophet, led by Albert Bishop and by Teresa of Avila, Calst and other, and friars Brown and Grey, sons of poor Francis, Capuchins, Cordeliers, Minimes, and observants, and the daughters of Clara, and the sons of Dominic, the friars preachers, and the sons of Vincent, and the monks of St. Wolston, and Ignatius' children, and the confraternity of the Christian brothers, led by the Reverend Brother Edmund Ignatius Rice.
Yes. We have to stop, it's fairly long, and this is a kind of, it should be spoken in a solemn, wait a minute. And at the sound of the saccharine bell, headed by a crucifer who is bearing a cross, and acolytes, thurifers, they're bearing the incense, boat bearers, readers, ostiarii, deacons, and subdeacons, these are all church ranks. The blessed company drew nigh of mitred abbots and priors and guardians and monks and friars. The monks of Benedict of Spoleto, Carthusians, Camaldolese, Cistercians, and all orders, of course. Mm-hmm. Oratorians and Valombrosians, and the friars of Augustine, Brigittine, Premonstratensians, Servi, Trinitarians, the children of Port Nolasco, and therewith from Carmel Mount, the children of Elijah, prophet, led by Albert Bishop and Teresa of Avila, calced and other. Calced means with shoes or unshoes, because some orders go barefoot. So they're calced. I don't know what all these orders are, whether there's anything funny in the list or things like that, but it has a kind of mechanical, almost stultifying air about it, and we are not likely to stop at everything. Calst and other. Friars, Brown and Grey, sons of poor Francis, Capuchins, Cordeliers, they wear ropes around themselves, minims and observants, and the daughters of Clara, the sons of Dominic, the friars preachers, and the son of Vincent, the monks of St. Wolston, and Ignatius' children, the confraternity of Christian brothers, that is the schools, that the lowest school that you could have in Dublin or in Ireland, led by the Reverend Brother Edmund Ignatius Rice. There's a real one. Yeah, and then we have another list of saints. Now, first we have the orders, and now we have the saints named. And, of course, you would hear saints' names every Sunday in church. So.
And after came all saints and martyrs, virgins and confessors, St. Cyr and St. Isidore Arator, and St. James the Less, and St. Phocas of Sinope, and St. Julian Hospitator, and St. Felix de Cantalice, and St. Simon Stylites, and St. Stephen Protomartyr, and St. John of God, and St. Ferial, and St. Luguard, and St. Theodotus, and St. Vulmar, and St. Richard, and St. Vincent de Paul, and St. Martin of Todi, and St. Martin of Tours, and St. Alfred, and St. Joseph, and St. Denis, and St. Cornelius, and St. Leopold, and St. Bernard, and St. Terence, and St. Edward, and St. Owen Caniculus, and St. Anonymous, and St. Eponymous, and St. Pseudonymous, and St. Homonymous, and St. Peronymous, and St. Synonymous, and...
No. So you can see here the saints, some of them know. I suppose you could go into every history of them because they all have lives. And after came all saints and martyrs, virgins and confessors. Saint Cyr, St. Isidore Arthur, who was ploughing, obviously, St. James the Less and St. Focus of Sinope, St. Julian Hospitate and St. Felix de Candalice, and St. Simon Stylites and St. Stephen Protomartyr, and St. John of God, and St. Ferion, St. Lugard, and St. Yodas, and St. Valmond, St. Richard, and St. Vincent de Paul, and St. Martin of Todi, St. Martin of Tours, and St. Alfred, and St. Joseph, and St. Denis, and St. Cornelius. And suddenly you realize, now wait a moment, we know them. First, we already had St. Simon Stylites. Simon Dedalus is the father of Stephen Dedalus, and Stephen was the first martyr, protomartyr. And St. John of God, and St. Thomas and Vaughan and Richard, and Vincent de Paul, and St. Martin of Todi, and St. Martin of Tours. We have Martin Cunningham. We have Alfred Byrne. We have Joe Hines. We have Dennis. Yeah, there's a Dennis there, and St. Cornelius, that is Corny, and St. Leopold, and St. Bernard, that's Barney Kiernan, and St. Terence, that's the man who hounds out the drinks, and St. Edward, that's Ned Lambert, and to make it quite sure, St. Owen Caniculus, that is the little dog. So Gary Owen, the dog, is also canonized. And you see here, so the inhabitants of the pub are there. And in a way, you can say, go and bless yourself. But then he goes beyond it and says, St. Anonymous. They don't exist, of course, but they have to do with naming. And you realize how important naming here is. Some are anonymous. The citizen has no name. The narrator has no name. Saint Eponymous, that is when a name is given to you, for a special thing. Saint Pseudonymous, pseudonyms, of course. Saint Homonymous, these are homonyms. And Saint Paronymous, these are, in a way, play on words. And Saint Synonymous. So you see that the naming acts are, a misnaming, are sanctified too. So in this chapter, with so many names, the names become, saintly. And then he goes back, and we go back to the main text.
St. Lawrence of Toul, and St. James of Dingle, and Compostela, and St. Colum Kill, and St. Columba, and St. Celestine, and St. Colman, and St. Kevin, and St. Brendan, and St. Frigidian, and St. Senan, and St. Faulkner, and St. Columbanus, and St. Gaul, and St. Fursey, and St. Fintan, and St. Fiacre, and St. John Nepomuk, and St. Thomas Aquinas, and St. Ives of Brittany, and St. Michin, and St. Herman Joseph, and the three patrons of holy youth, St. Aloysius Gonzaga, St. Stanislaus Kostka, and St. John Bershmans. And the Saints Gervasius, Servatius, and Bonifacius, and St. Bride, and St. Kernan, and St. Canis of Kilkenny, and St. Jarlath of Turum, and St. Finbar, and St. Papin of Ballymun, and Brother Aloysius Pacificus, and Brother Louis Bellicosus, and the Saints Rose of Lima, and of Viterbo, and St. Martha of Bethany, and St. Mary of Egypt, and St. Lucy, and St. Bridget, and St. Attractor, and St. Dymphna, and St. Eta, and St. Marian Calpensis, and the Blessed Sister Teresa of the Child Jesus, and St. Barbara, and St. Scholastica, and St. Ursula, with 11,000 virgins. And all came with nimbi and aureoles and gloriae, bearing palms and harps and swords and olive crowns in robes, whereon were woven the blessed symbols of the efficacies, inkhorns, arrows, loaves, cruses, fetters, axes, trees, bridges, babes in a bathtub, shells, wallets, shears, keys, dragons, lilies, buckshot, beards, hogs, lamps, bellows, beehives, soup ladles, stars, snakes, anvils, boxes of Vaseline, bells, crutches, forceps, stag's horns, watertight boots, hawks, millstones, eyes on a dish, wax candles, aspergills, unicorns.
Then you have some straightforward saints, Irish saints, St. Lawrence of Toul, patron saint of Dublin, St. James of Dingle and Compostela, and St. Columbkill, and St. Columba, and St. Celestine, and St. Coleman, and St. Kevin. They're all Irish saints and somehow stories. And St. Brendan, who discovered America, and St. Frigidian, and St. Senan, and St. Fachner, and St. Columbanus, and St. Gall. We know him, of course. He came to what is now Switzerland. And St. Fursey, and St. Fintan, and St. Fiacre. Say, he became a post chaise, you know, he became a vehicle, Fiacre in Paris and in Vienna because of some development. And St. John Nepomuk and St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Isaac of Brittany and St. Mixon and St. Herman Joseph and the three patrons of Holy Youth of St. Doris Gonzaga and St. Stanislaus, Kostka and St. Berchmans and St. Gervasius and Bonifatius and St. Bride, that's a woman, and St. Kieran and St. Canis of Kilkenny. Kilkenny is the church of St. Canis, and Jarlath of Toome, and St. Finbar, and St. Papi of Ballymann, and Brother Aloysius Pacificus, and Brother Louis Bellicosus. Pacificus and Bellicosus, and the Saint Rose of Lima, and the Talbot, and now the women saint come trailing after, and St. Martha of Bethany, and St. Mary of Egypt, and St. Lucy, and St. Bridget, and St. Attractor, and St. Dimpner, and St. Itta, and St., there's a new one, Marian Calpensis. You realize that is Marian from Gibraltar. Calpe is the old word for Gibraltar. So she's among the saints too. And the Blessed St. Teresa of the Tragedia, and St. Barbara, and St. Scholastica, and St. Ursula with 11,000 virgins. Somehow Ursula always comes with 11,000 virgins. And I can't imagine any town in the Middle Ages having 11,000 women. But that's it. So, and then of course they say what they have. The saints always have symbols. They're known for something. And again, if we knew that, we could probably attribute these objects to the various saints. I'm quite sure somebody familiar with it would get some kick out of it. But it's also written somewhere. But we leave it at that. And they all came with nimbi, the nimbus about the head, and aureoles and gloria. You know, they have this halo bearing palms and harps and swords and olive crowns in robes whereon were woven the blessed symbol of their efficacies, ink horns, arrows, loaves, cruises, fetters, axes, trees, bridges, babes in a bathtub, shells, wallets, shears, keys, dragons, lilies, buckshot, beard, hawks, lamps, bellows, beehives, soup ladles, stars, snakes, anvils, boxes, vaseline belts, crutches, forceps, stag's horns, watertight boots, hawks, millstones, eyes on a dish, wax candle, aspergills, unicorns. So you have them, and I think they could be attributed to. And now we have where they're going.
And as they wended their way by Nelson's Pillar, Henry Street, Mary Street, Capel Street, Little Britain Street, chanting the introit in Epiphania Domini, which beginneth Surge Illuminare, and thereafter most sweetly the gradual Omnes, which saith De Salve Venient, they did divers wonders, such as casting out devils, raising the dead to life, multiplying fishes, healing the halt and the blind, discovering various articles which had been mislaid, interpreting and fulfilling the scriptures, blessing and prophesying. And last, beneath a canopy of cloth of gold, came the Reverend Father O'Flynn, attended by Malachy and Patrick. And when the good fathers had reached the appointed place, the house of Bernard Kiernan and Co., Limited, 8, 9 and 10 Little Britain Street, wholesale grocers, wine and brandy shippers, licensed for the sale of beer, wine and spirits for consumption on the premises, the celebrant blessed the house and sensed the mullion windows and the groins and the vaults and the arises and the capitals and the pediments and the cornices and the engrailed arches and the spires and the cupolas and sprinkled the lintels thereof with blessed water and prayed that God might bless that house as he had blessed the house of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and make the angels of his light to inhabit therein. And entering, he blessed the viands and the beverages, and the company of all the blessed answered his prayers. Adjutorium nostrum in nomine Domini, qui fecit caelum et terram, Dominus vobiscum, ecum spiritu tuo. And he laid his hands upon the blessed and gave thanks. And he prayed, and they all with him prayed. Deus cuius verbo sanctificantur omnia, benedictionem tuum effunde super creaturas istas, et praestor ut quisquis ei secundum legem et voluntatem tuam cum gratiarum actione usus fuerit per invocationem sanctissimi nominis tui corporis sanitatem et anime tutelam te octore precipiat per Christum Dominum nostrum.
Uh-huh. So, this is some blessings. Yeah. Then they go from Nelson's Pillar, Henry Street, Mary Street, Capel Street, Little Britain Street. That's where the pub is. Chanting the entry of Epiphania Domini, which begins Sola Gera Minare, and thereafter most sweetly the rattle Omnes, which saith De Saba Veni, and that has all theological background, of course, that we won't go into. They did divers wonders, such as casting out devils, raising the dead to life, multiplying fishes, remember the loaves of the fishes, the Bible, healing the halt and the blind, discovering various articles which had been mislaid, interpreting and fulfilling the scriptures, blessing and prophesying. That's their job. And last, beneath a canopy of cloth and gold, came the Reverend Father O'Flynn. Now, Father O'Flynn is not the real clergyman. It is a, excuse me, it is an, the hero of a funny song. He's just better than anyone else, but not particularly holy and things like that. So that's a comic figure from a poem, attended by Malachi and Patrick. Now, Patrick, of course, would be a Christian, but Malachi would have been a heathen. And when the good fathers had reached the appointed place, the house of Bernard Tiernan and Company, and here you have the exact address and the official register, limited, 8, 9, and 10 Little Bridge Street, wholesale grocers, wine and brandy shippers, licensed for the sale of beer, wine, and spirits for consumption on the premises. The celebrants praised, blessed the house, and since the mullioned windows and the groins and the walls and the arches and the capital and the pediments and the cornices and the engraved arches and the spires and the cupolas and sprinkle the lintels for the blessed water. I think you can also bless the building in detail. And pray that God might bless that house as he had blessed the house of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and make the angel of his life to inhabit therein. And entering, not this, there's something wrong here. And he blessed the viands, food, there's no food there, and the beverages, and the company of all blessed answered his prayers. And then the rest is given in ecclesiastical Latin. Auditorium, the help, our help in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. God be with you and with the Spirit. And he laid the hands upon the blessed and gave thanks and he prayed and they all with him prayed. And that is probably the official formula for blessing. Deus cuius verbo sanctus, whose word is hallowed by everyone. Pour your benediction over us and all the creatures, and so on and so on. Of course, it's just under the blessing. And it's here done in three heavy pages with all the solemnity of the church. And you realize, and it's based on an almost meaningless God bless you all here, which you say when you take up a drink and something like that. So it is often like that. That's something that's being talked about is taken at face value and installed. So that is, and of course, all in exaggeration because of the technique is gigantism, everything gigantic. So now back in the pub.
And so say all of us, says Jack. 1,000 a year, Lambert, says Crofton or Crawford. Right, says Ned, taking up his John Jemison, and butter for fish. I was just looking round to see who the happy thought would strike, when be damned, but in he comes again, letting on to be in a hell of a hurry. I was just around the courthouse, is he, looking for you. I hope I'm not. No, says Martin, we're ready. Court has me eye and your pockets hanging down with gold and silver, mean bloody scut. Stand as a drink itself. Divil a sweet fare. There's a Jew for you. All for number one. Cute as a shithouse rat. 105. Don't tell anyone, says the citizen. Beg your pardon, says he. Come on, boys, says Martin, seeing him as looking blue. Come along now. Don't tell anyone, says the citizen, letting the ball out of him. It's a secret. And the bloody dog woke up and let a growl. Bye-bye all, says Martin. And he got them out as quick as he could, Jack Power and Crofton, or whatever you call them, and him in the middle of them, letting on to be all at sea. Up with them on the bloody jaunting car. Off with you, says Martin to the jarvey.
Good. So, and so say all of us, says Jack. So obviously, this interpolation hasn't taken up any time. The drinks come, you have to say something, a toast or something. 1,000 a year, says Lambert, says Crofton or Crawford. Right, says Ned, taking up is John Jemison, the whiskey. And butter for fish, all these toasts. I was just looking around to see who the happy thought would strike, what kind of phrase they would come up with, when be damned, but in he comes again. Letting on to be in a hell of a hurry. I was just round at the courthouse, says he's looking for you. I hope I'm not. No, says Martin, we're ready. Courthouse, my eye, my foot, or my something like that, my eye, and your pockets hanging down with gold and silver, as he thinks. Mean bloody scut. Stand as a drink itself. In other words, Bloom would never do that. Devil a sweet fear. Don't fear that you would do that. There's a Jew for you. All for number one. Cute as a shithouse rat. It's quite a powerful sentence. Cute, of course, means here acute and not a cute baby. 105. Don't tell anyone, says a citizen. Beg your pardon, says he. Come on, boy, says Martin, seeing it was looking blue. Come along now. Don't tell anyone, says the citizen, letting a ball out of him. It's a secret. And the bloody dog woke up and let a growl. Bye-bye all, says Martin. And he got them out as quick as he could. Jack Power and Croft, or whatever you call him, in the middle of them, letting on to be all at sea, up with them, on the bloody jaunting car. Off with you, says Martin to the jolly. They're in a hurry. And now we have another interpolation.
Can I ask a question? Hello, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What are we supposed to do with all this anti-Semitism? Like, are we supposed to assume that the Irish are anti-Semitic, or is Joyce trying to tell us something? I don't get it.
No, I didn't catch it.
Why all this anti-Semitism? Is Joyce trying to tell us something?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was like that. I mean, Joyce put the finger on something, as we know, that came out much worse than the earth could have thing. So anti-Semitism was a big, and of course, anti-xenophobia is also a big issue. And here it comes to the surface. And Bloom is the other one. He is the scapegoat of all it all. That's one of the chapters that shows that Joyce really was aware of something. And to a degree that he could not, when he wrote this, by the way, in Zurich, he could not expect to what excesses that this would all lead. So that's one reason for the attraction of Joyce, all these foreigners, these aliens, these migrants and things like that, have a great sympathy with this. And I keep saying, and you've heard that several times, wouldn't it be a better world if we had now to explain, 100 years ago, there was a lot of prejudice against foreigners and migrants and Jews? if anything, it's become worse. And so Joyce was obviously onto something very serious. Is that what you meant? Good. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
No. Good.
The milk-white dolphin tossed his mane, and rising in the golden poop, the helmsman spread the bellying sail upon the wind, and stood off forward with all sail set, the spinnaker to larboard. And many comely nymphs drew nigh to starboard and to larboard, and clinging to the sides of the noble bark, they linked their shining forms, as doth the cunning wheelwright when he fashions about the heart of his wheel the equidistant rays, whereof each one is sister to another. And he binds them all with an outer ring, and giveth speed to the feet of men, whenas they ride to a hosting, or contend for the smile of ladies fair. Even so did they come and set them, those willing nymphs, the undying sisters, and they laughed, sporting in a circle of their foam, and the bark clave the waves.
So here we are transferred to a formal ceremonial leave-taking on a ship in an antique form. The milk-white dolphin tossed his mane, and rising in the golden poop, the helmsman spread the bellying sail upon the wind, and stood off forward with all sails set, the spinnaker to larboard. So this is a kind of naval departure with great pomp and form, the opposite of what happens. Spinnaker to larboard is a sort of nautical phrase that most people have heard of and don't know what it is. And many comely nymphs, these are water nymphs, drew nigh to starboard and to larboard, and clinging to the side of the noble bark, they linked their shining forms, as doth the cunning wheelwright when he fashions about the heart and his wheel the equidistant rays whereof each one is sister to another, and he binds them all with an outer ring and gives speed to the feet of men, when as they ride to a hosting or contend for the smile of ladies fair. And here there's a kind of the nymphs are, it looks to me like a sink. What is synchronic swimming that they do in the world? And here we have even a Homeric simile. Homer is known for from time to time to compare a situation with quite a different one, and it always begins as horse, so as they do, so did them. So that's an imitation of that when they do something in the water, form a figure. Of course, there were sea nymphs and things in Greek. Even so, and that's the end of the comparison, did they come and set them, those willing nymphs, the undying sisters, and they laughed, sporting a circle of their foam, and the bark clave the waves. But now we get outside again. We come to the second climax.
But because I was just lowering the hill at the point when I saw the citizen getting up to waddle to the door, puffing and blowing with the dropsy, and he cursing the curse of Cromwell on him, bell, book and candle, in Irish, spitting and spatting out of him, and Joe and little Alf round him like a leprechaun throughout the piece of poem. Let me alone, says he, and because he got as far as the door, and they holding him, and he bawls out of him, three cheers for Israel! Or I sit down on the parliamentary side of your ass, for Christ's sake, and don't be making a public exhibition of yourself. Jesus, there's always some bloody clown or other kicking up a bloody mortar about bloody nothing. God, it'd have thrown the porter sour in your gut, so it would.
Good. Again, there's no, the interpolation takes up no time. But be gob, I was just lowering the heel of the pint when I saw the citizen get up to waddle to the door, puffing and blowing with a dropsy. So the kid is not a strong, muscular man, but an old man, fairly weak. And he cursing the curse of Cromwell on him. Cromwell was invaded Ireland too. Is a bad name. Bell, book and candle in Irish. spitting and spatting out of him, and Joe and little Alf around him like a leprechaun trying to be. Leprechaun are these knightly creatures. You can sell them. You can sell them in tourist offices from Irish mythology. And you see, all of it is very. The dial is very Irish, spitting and spatting at all of that. It's a great chapter for actors reading it out. Leave me alone, says he. And Bigorby got as far as the door, and they holding, and he bawls out of him, three cheers for Israel. Now he really gets nasty. And then a silent comment. Sit down on the parliamentary side of your arse. I don't quite know what that is. For Christ's sake, and don't be making a public exhibition yourself. And the next sentence shows quite well what the word bloody does. Huh? If you left out the word bloody, it would be a very weak sentence. Jesus, there's always some bloody clown or the kicking up a bloody murder about bloody nothing. Gob, it turned the porter sour in your guts. So it would.
And all the ragamuffins and sluts of the nation round the door, and Martin telling the jarvey to drive ahead, and the citizen bawling, and Alf and Joe adding to whisht, and he on his high horse about the Jews and the loafers calling for a speech, and Jack Parrott trying to get him to sit down on the car and hold his bloody jaw, and a loafer with a patch over his eye starts singing, if the man in the moon was a Jew, 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 and a slut shouts out of her, hey, mister, your fly is open, mister. And says he, Mendelssohn was a Jew, and Karl Marx, and Mercadante, and Spinoza, and the Saviour was a Jew, and his father was a Jew. Your God, he had no father, says Martin. That'll do now, drive ahead. Who's God, says the citizen. Well, his uncle was a Jew, says he. Your God was a Jew. Christ was a Jew, like me. God, the citizen made the plunge back into the shop. Be Jesus, says he, I'll brain that bloody Jew man for using the holy name. By Jesus, I'll crucify him, so I will. Give us that biscuit box here.
No. So, here, and then it says, in exaggeration, there were probably just a few people around that saw that something was happening. And all the ragamuffins and sluts of the nation round the door. And Martin telling the jarry to drive ahead, and the citizen bawling, and Alf and Joe at him to whist, to shut up, and he on his high horse about the Jews, and the loafers calling for a speech, and Jack Power trying to get him to sit down on the car and hold his bloody jaw, and the loafer with a patch over his eye, again one-eyed, singing, if the man in the moon was a Jew, Jew, Jew. This is based on an American thing. If the man in the moon was a coon, coon, coon. And coon was meant for a black person. So you see, he becomes really quite xenophobic and all of that. And then a woman shouts out, hey, mister, your fly is open. And you know, when men don't have the fly open, they don't cut a very good figure. And now we come to a great scene. Then Broom, of course, it's a common ploy when you're your type of people are insulted, you mention some great names of them, which of course never helps. It never helps with a fanatic. And so he says, Mendelssohn was a Jew, and Karl Marx, and Mercadante, and Spinoza. Now, it's not a very good choice, but imagine if you have at the spur of the moment list a great deal, it's not easy to come out with good ones. Now, Mendelssohn, German composer, was a Jew. Karl Marx was Jewish, but certainly not religious. And moreover, if in Dublin, or in Catholic Dublin of 1904, you had mentioned Karl Marx, that wouldn't make you very popular. Not that most people would have known the name. So that's not a good example. And then he says Spinoza, who was a Jew, but he was excommunicated from his own thing. And then there's Mercadante, Italian name, that is not a Jew. And what has happened? quietly all along the book that Bloom has been confusing Mercadante and Meyerbeer. Meyerbeer, who was a Jew, and some of you may know that he was attacked by Wagner for that reason. So his list is not very good. One is clear wrong and the others are not too good. And it wouldn't help anyone, but then he goes one better. And the Savior was a Jew, and his father was a Jew, your God. He had no father. Jesus Christ, of course. That'll do now, see. And then Bloom, whose God, said the citizen? Well, his uncle was a Jew. I suppose he means Joseph, married to who was his uncle. Your God was a Jew. Christ was a Jew like me. So that's a God, the citizen, made a plunge back into the shop. By Jesus, says he, I'll brain that bloody Jewman for using the holy name. By Jesus, I'll crucify him. So I will. Give it that biscuit box. And you see what happens here, since the Christians have always accused the Jews of killing Jesus, crucifying him. Here, everything is with the good Catholic says, I'll brain that bloody Jewman for using the holy name. I'll crucify him. So a Catholic wants to crucify a Jew. So it's all that. And it's a great moment, and yet it is full of pathetic conduct. Give us that biscuit box here. And we know there's an empty biscuit box here and I don't know whether you brought it there. We have a biscuit box of about that size that was where the biscuits were in, and that he is then throwing at him. You can, when they're open again, you can look at the biscuit box. Give us a biscuit box here. Stop, stop, says Joe. And then we have another interpolation of an ceremonial farewell, the positive one.
Stop, stop, says Joe. A large and appreciative gathering of friends and acquaintances from the metropolis and greater Dublin assembled in their thousands to bid farewell to Nodger Sogosh Oram Liberty Virag, late of Messrs. Alexander Toms, printers to His Majesty, on the occasion of his departure for the distant clime of Shazhaminch Brozhu Guyash Dugalash, Meadow of Murmuring Waters. The ceremony, which went off with great eclat, was characterized by the most affecting cordiality. An illuminated scroll of ancient Irish vellum, the work of Irish artists, was presented to the distinguished phenomenologist on behalf of a large section of the community and was accompanied by the gift of a silver casket tastefully executed in the style of ancient Celtic ornament, a work which reflects every credit on the makers, Mrs. Jacob, August Jacob. The departing guest was the recipient of a hearty ovation, many of those who were present being visibly moved when the select orchestra of Irish pipes struck up the well-known strains of Come Back to Erin, followed immediately by Rakowski's March. Tar barrels and bonfires were lighted along the coastline of the four seas on the summits of the Hill of Howth, Three Rock Mountain, Sugarloaf, Brayhead, the Mountains of Mourne, the Galtees, the Ox and Donegal and Sperrin Peaks, the Nagels and the Buggeries, the Connemara Hills, the Reeks of McGillicuddy, Slieve Orty, Slieve Burner, and Slieve Bloom. Amid cheers that rent the welkin, responded to by answering cheers from a big muster of henchmen on the distant Cambrian and Caledonian hills. The mastodontic pleasure ship slowly moved away, saluted by a final floral tribute from the representatives of the fair sex who were present in large numbers, while, as it proceeded down the river, escorted by a flotilla of barges, the flags of the ballast office and custom house were dipped in salute, as were also those of the electrical power station at the pigeon house. Vishon Latashra, Kedvesh Boraton, Vishon Latashra, gone, but not forgotten.
So, yeah, another farewell ceremony. a large and appreciative gathering of friends and acquaintances from the metropolis and greater Dublin assembled in the thousand to bid farewell to Nagasakos Uram Lipotivira, that is Leopold Virag. The other I have to look up again. Nagasaki. Yeah, your greatness, Leopold Blum in Hungarian. Late of Messrs. Alexander Toms, Blum once worked for Toms printing office, printed with Majesty on the occasion of his departure from the distant clime of, and then they have a long Hungarian word. Hungarian is a language that can put words together to immense length. As you all know, it's not the Indo-European languages. And it's here, meadow of murmuring waters. That is the thing. If you ask a Hungarian what it means something like constipation of 140 cows or something like that. So something quite different from the official thing. The ceremony, which went off with great ikla, was characterized by the most affecting cordiality. An illuminated scroll of ancient Irish vellum, the work of Irish artists, was presented to distinguished phenomenologists. And you know why he's a phenomenologist? Because he said that's only a natural phenomenon. That doesn't make him a philosopher, of course, but he uses that kind of word. On behalf of a large section of the community, and was accompanied by a gift of silver casket, tastefully executed in the style of ancient Celtic ornament, a work which reflects every credit on the makers, Messrs. Jacob August Jacob. And this is the biscuit tin, the Jacob's biscuit tin that we have is here now presented as a formal present. The departing guest was a recipient of a hearty ovation, many of those who were present being visibly moved when the select orchestra of Irish pipes struck up the well-known strains of Come Back to Erin, followed immediately by Rakoczy's March, Hungarian one. Tar barrels and bonfires were lighted on the coastline along the four seas, and the summits of the Hill of Howth, and then you get a lot of Irish landscapes again. The Rock Mountain, Sugarloaf, Brayhead, the Mountains of Mourne, the Galtees, the Ox and Donegal and Spelling Peaks, the Nagles and the Borgos, and the Connemara Hills, the Reeks of McGillicuddy, Slieve Orty, Slieve Bernard, and Slieve Bloom. There is a Slieve Bloom in Ireland. It has nothing to do with Bloom. It's an Irish word. Amid cheers that rent the welkin, responded to by answering cheers from big muster henchmen on the distant Cambrian and Caledonian hills, the hills of Wales and Scotland, the mastodontic pleasure ship slowly moved away, saluted by a final floral tribute from the representatives of the fair sex, who were present in large numbers, while, as we proceed down the river, escorted by a flotilla of barges, the flags of the ballast office and custom house were dipped in salute, as were also those of the actual power station of the prison house. And then you have something more in Hungarian, which I have to look up again. It seems to mean, see you again, my dear friend, see you again, goodbye. So, that seems to be more or less straight Hungarian than gone but not forgotten. And then back to the pub.
God, the devil wouldn't stop him till he got hold of the bloody tin anyhow, and out with him, and little Alf hanging onto his elbow, and he shouted like a stuck pig, as good as any bloody play in the Queen's Royal Theatre. Where is he till I murder him? And Ned and JG paralyzed with the laughing. Bloody wars, says I. I'll be in for the last gospel. But as luck would have it, the Jarvie got the nag's head round the other way and off with them. Hold on, citizens, says Joe. Stop. Begob, he drew his hand and made a swipe and let fly. Mercy of God, the sun was in his eyes, or he'd have left them for dead. God be near sent it into the county Longford. The bloody nag took fright, and the old mongrel after the car like bloody hell, and all the populace shouting and laughing, and the old tin box tattering along the street.
Good. So, the devil wouldn't stop him, till he got hold of the bloody tin, the biscuit tin, anyhow, and out with him and little Al hanging onto his elbow, and he's shouting like a stuck pig, as good as any bloody play in the Queen's Royal Theatre, though something is at least happening. Where is he till I murder him? Clearly an Irish way of saying it. And Ned and JJ paralyzed with the laughing. Bloody war, says I, I'll be in for the last gospel. But as luck would have it, the Jarvie got the nag's head round the other way and off with him. Hold on, citizen says, stop. Begob, he drew his hand and made a swipe and let fly. Mercy of God, the sun was in his eyes, or he'd have left him for dead. Gob, he near sent it in the county Longford. In that direction, he would get to the county Longford. The bloody nag took fright, and the old mongrel after the car like bloody hell, and all the populace shouting and laughing, and the old tin box clattering along the street. So this box there is not to I here is, you can see the box in relation to a head. So if it's empty, it wouldn't, you wouldn't like to have it on your skull, but it wouldn't be deadly. But it makes a hell of a noise when you like clattering down the street. And what you have here now is, in Homer, Odysseus, who was not very clever, in the end, as he escaped, and the citizen, the Cyclops was throwing the rock of a mountain at him, here it's a biscuit tin, and missed, Odysseus said to him, now this should be a lesson to you, you should treat your guests with hospitality. I am Odysseus, the son of this from Ithaca and all of that. And so he gave away his identity, and that allowed Cyclops, Polyphemus, to pray to his father to revenge the blinding. His father was Poseidon, the shaker of the earth. And here, the biscuit tin causes an earthquake. And so this interlude, which we can still do, I hope, is a description of an earthquake.
The catastrophe was terrific and instantaneous in its effect. The observatory of Dunsink registered in all 11 shocks, all of the fifth grade of Mercalli scale. And there is no record extant of a similar seismic disturbance in our island since the earthquake of 1534, the year of the rebellion of Sultan Thomas. The epicenter appears to have been that part of the metropolis which constitutes the Inns Key ward and parish of St. Michan, covering the surface of 41 acres, 2 roods and 1 square pole or perch. All the lordly residences in the vicinity of the Palace of Justice were demolished, and that noble edifice itself, in which at the time of the catastrophe important legal debates were in progress, is literally a mass of ruins, beneath which, it is to be feared, all the occupants have been buried alive. From the reports of eyewitnesses, it transpires that the seismic waves were accompanied by a violent atmospheric perturbation of cyclonic character. An article of headgear, since ascertained to belong to the much-respected Clerk of the Crown and Peace, Mr. George Fottrell, and a silk umbrella with gold handle, with the engraved initials, coat of arms and house number of the erudite and worshipful chairman of Quarter Sessions, Sir Frederick Falconer, Recorder of Dublin, have been discovered by search parties in remote parts of the island, respectively the former on the third basaltic ridge of the Giant's Causeway, the latter embedded to the extent of 1 foot 3 inches in the sandy beach of Holopen Bay near the old head of Kinsale. Other eyewitnesses depose that they observed an incandescent object of enormous proportions hurtling through the atmosphere at a terrifying velocity and a trajectory directed southwest by west. Messages of condolence and sympathy are being hourly received from all parts of the different continents, and the sovereign pontiff has been graciously pleased to decree that a special Missa pro defunctis shall be celebrated simultaneously by the ordinaries of each and every cathedral church of all the episcopal dioceses subject to the spiritual authority of the Holy See, in suffrage of the souls of those faithful departed who have been so unexpectedly called away from our midst. The work of salvage, removal of debris, human remains, etc., has been entrusted to Messrs. Michael Mead and Son, 159 Great Brunswick Street, and Messrs. T.C. Martin, 77, 78, 79, and 80, North Wall, assisted by the men and officers of the Duke of Cornwall's Light Infantry, under the general supervision of H.R.H. Rear Admiral, the Right Honourable Sir Hercules Hannibal Habeas Corpus Anderson, K.G., K.P., K.T., P.C., K.C.B., M.P., J.P., M.B., DSO, SOD, MFH, MRIA, BL, MUSDOC, PLG, FTCD, FRUI, FRCPI, and FRCSI.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know if you will make it for all of it, but here is the report on an earthquake. The catastrophe was terrific and instantaneous in its effect. The observer of Dunsink registered in all 11 shocks, all of the fifth grade of Mercalli scale, that was before the Richter scale. And there is no record estimate of a similar seismic disturbance in Ireland since the earthquake of 1534, the year of the rebellion to St. Thomas. Probably historical fact. The epicenter appears to have been that part of the metropolis which constitute the Inskey Ward and parish of St. Michan, where we are, covering a surface of 41 acres, two roods and one square polar perch. All the lordly residents in the vicinity of the Palace of Justice were demolished, and that noble edifice itself, in which at the time of the catastrophe important legal debates were in progress, is literally a mass of ruins beneath which it should be feared all the occupants have been buried alive. From the reports of eyewitness, it transpires that the seismic waves were accompanied by a violent atmospheric perturbation of cyclonic character. An article of headgear, often when you have a big destruction, you single out one little thing. Here, like an article of headgear, since ascertained to belong to the much respected clerk of the Crown and Peace, Mr. George Fotrell, there was such a person, and the silk umbrella with gold handle and the engraved initials, coat of arms and house numbers of the erudite and worshipful chairman of Quarters, Sir Frederick Faulkner, you've heard of him before, record of Dublin, have been discovered by such parties in both parts of the island respectively. The former on the third basaltic ridge of the Giant's Causeway. You know there is such a thing in Northern Ireland. It's basaltic things. It's called the Giant's Causeway. The latter embedded to the extent of 1 foot 3 inches in the sandy beach of Holobin Bay near the old head of Kinsale. Other eyewitnesses depose that they observed an incandescent object of enormous proportions hurtling through the atmosphere at a terrifying velocity in a trajectory directed southwest by west. Messages of condolence and sympathy are being hourly received from all parts of the different continents, and the sovereign pontiff, the Pope, has been graciously pleased to decree a special Missa pro defunctis, a mass for the dead, shall be celebrated simultaneously by the ordinaries of each and every cathedral church and all episcopal dioceses subject to the spiritual authority of the Holy See, in suffrage of the souls of those faithful departed who have been so unexpectedly called away from our midst. The work of salvage, removal of debris, human remains, etc., has been encrusted. And you see here, you have a puff. You have an advertisement in the thing to Messrs. imagining the whole destruction being done by one firm, Messrs. Michael Mead and Sons, 159 Great Brunswick Street, and Messrs. D.J. Martin, 17, St. Dayton, St. Dayton, North Wall, assisted by the men and officers of the Duke of Cornwall's Light Infantry, under the general decision of His Royal Highness, Rear Admiral, the Right Honourable Sir Hercules Hannibal Habeas Corpus Anderson. So, and then, of course, he has a whole front of decorations on his breast, and they have all been Knight of the Garter, Knight of St. Patrick. By the way, you can't be both. KT, PC, MP, Member of Parliament, JP, Justice of Peace, MB, DSO is something. The only abbreviation that has not been identified, though somebody had still, it goes on then, member of the Royal Irish Academy, Poor Law Guardian, for a member of the Royal University, and so on and so on. The only one that has not been is S.O.D. S.O.D. Somebody might still find it. And of course, a sort is the abbreviation for a sodomite. So choice usually sneaks in some kind of thing that doesn't quite fit. Maybe we finish the chapter anyway then. Oh, we don't have time. Yeah.
You never saw the like of it. In all your born, poof, gone. If he got that lottery ticket on the side of his pal, he'd remember the Gold Cup he would sell, but Big Up the Citizen would have been liked for assault and battery, and Joe for aiding and abetting. The jab he saved his life by furious driving, as sure as God made Moses. What? Oh, Jesus, he did. And he let a volley of oaths after him. Did I kill him, says he, or what? And he's shouting to the bloody dog, after him, Gary, after him, boy. And the last we saw was the bloody car rounding the corner, an old sheep face on it gesticulating, and the bloody mongrel after it with his lugs back for all he was bloody well worth to tear him limb from limb. 105! Jesus, he took the value of it out of him, I promise you.
Let me do the rest too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
When lo, there came about them all a great brightness, and they beheld the chariot wherein he stood ascend to heaven, and they beheld him in the chariot, clothed upon in the glory of the brightness, having raiment as of the sun, fair as the moon, and terrible that for all they durst not look upon him. And there came a voice out of heaven, calling, Elijah! Elijah! And he answered with a main cry, Abba! Adonai! And they beheld him, even him, Ben Bloom Elijah, amid clouds of angels, ascend to the glory of the brightness at an angle of 45 degrees over Donahue's in Little Green Street, like a shot off a shovel.
No, so that's the climax. You never saw the like of it in all your born puff. Go, if he got that lottery ticket on the side of his phone, Bloom once sold lottery tickets, he'd remember the Gold Cup, would he? But because the citizen would have been lagged for assault and battery, arrested, and Joe for aiding and abetting. The Jarvis saved his life by furious driving, as sure as God made Moses. What? Oh, Jesus, he did. And he let the body of oath out of him. Did I kill him, says he, or what? And he shouted to the bloody dog, after him, Gary, after him, boy. And the last we saw was the bloody car rounding the corner, and old sheep face on it gesticulating, and the bloody mongrel after with his lugs back for all he was bloody well worth to tear him limb from limb, 105. Jesus took the value out of him, I promise you. And the last, interpolation that ends, you will see, moves into reality at the end. And it's biblical, and it's based on the fact that the prophet Elijah was supposed by the Christians, and you know, the American evangelist is coming, the return of Elijah is coming, he was thought to be anticipating the arrival of Christ, so and he rose in a in a charioteer rose to heaven in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and that's imitated here. And lo, there came about all a great brightness, and they beheld the chariot wherein he stood ascend to heaven, and they beheld him in the chariot, clothed upon in the glory of the brightness, having raiment as of the sun, and fair as the moon, and terrible that for all they durst not look upon him. And there came a voice out of heaven calling, Elijah, Elijah. And he answered with the main cry, Abba, Father, Adonai. Adonai is a sort of placeholder because you are not allowed to speak the holy name, the Tetragrammaton Adonai. And they beheld him, capital like Elijah or Jesus, even him, Ben Bloom Elijah, Ben is Hebrew for son, amid clouds of angels ascend to the glory of the brightness at an angle of 45 degrees over Donahue's in Little Green Street like a shot of a shovel. And you realize from angel ascending you get to angle because an angle of 45 degrees is the best ballistic angle that you can get. So you suddenly, as Elijah rises, you come down to earth with a thing like that. So like a shot or shovel. There's something else. I thought it was funny enough, but a friend of mine has studied the art of flying, and there are lots of, and you can look them up in the internet. The Ascent of Elijah has often been illustrated in God. And my friend discovered one thing that I have, where you see a kind of car taking off at an angle of about 38 degrees so this is also a comment on a biblical illustration. That is, so that's how the chapter ends. It is the one with quite a bit of action. Almost, there's more action like that. And I think it's the most lively one of them all, and the one that is perhaps most fun to do. Yeah. And I hope that you also have got some kicks out of it. So now the next one, and of course we don't start now, is quite different, and you will realize that the voice is quite a different one. It's kind of beautiful period. The summer evening had begun to fold the world in its mysterious embrace. So it's quite a much more solemn, and it's also a chapter it's one of the easiest ones, by the way, that comes. And I say this because the one afterwards is not at all easy, and gets very tough. Anyway, Cyclops chapter with a lot of Homeric relations. As I say, the Cyclops threw a rock at Odysseus and missed. And here it's a biscuit. Okay, so much for something quite different. Now you know every new chapter is quite different and as known is immediately recognizable. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Fritz.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.